Good afternoon and welcome to our monthly teleconference brought to you by Dar K and kosherclasses.org. I'm Rabbi Tzvi Goldberg. I'm joined once again by Rabbi Baruch Beyer.
Glad to be back.
And for those of you who have joined us in the past, you know already that we have two ways that you could join us by telephone. For those of you driving or otherwise not on the internet and find it convenient to join by phone, the number that you dialed in every month at the last Wednesday of the month at 12 o'clock. And fairly new is our internet access on dimdim.com, D-I-M-D-I-M.com. Our username is kosher at the same time. And on that system, we have the ability to chat with us, to ask us questions, to make a comment. Sometimes I can play around with the screen over here in our office, and that will close your chat. Just click the button that says show chat on the top right of your screen, and then you'll be able to show the chat. If you have any questions, technical questions, Reb Zev Steen is over here helping us out. His username is Star K Tech, and you can ask him anything that you need to. If you have a question by telephone, just hit 1-1 on your keypad, and that will show us that you have a question. We'll be able to take that question. We enjoy taking questions. We want to be a listener participation, and really that's what we're here for, you to answer anything that we possibly can. Today, the topic that we would like to discuss is mainly Rabbi Beyer's trip.
Wow.
And the trip to Europe. The way we put it forth was the difference between the European and the American landscapes as far as kosher, not as far as the way they, the trees and the grass. That will leave for some
pretty much
else.
The same, actually, when it comes to trees and grass.
Okay. So we'll get into that, the differences between them. And really, the original title we had was, what was it, the American Appreciating Kosher in America.
Right.
We decided against that title, but that's really the gist of it, I think, is that we have to realize we're going to realize the difference and start to appreciate what those of us who live here, as opposed to living in Europe, what we have here to our benefit. As far as kosher goes, so tell us about. Let's start with that. Let's start with why you went to Europe and where you went, and and let's start with that, and we'll give a little background.
The Star Case certifies most of the paper mills that manufacture.
You mean like paper that they use in schools and things like that?
No, we're talking about paper that's used in baking. That means
parchment
paper that's used on to line pans in a bakery or in a candy manufacturer or possibly to wrap fish. Also, the little cupcake holders. All those types of paper products which have a direct food contact and many times are coated with chemicals that could be not kosher, the Star Case certifies a number of those producers. And a good many of them are in Scandinavia.
And you know why would they be in Scandinavia as opposed to?
They would be in Scandinavia,
New York,
as opposed to New York, because there's no trees in New York. No, that's really the main reason. The Scandinavian.
I thought a tree grows in Brooklyn.
That's right, one tree. In
think there aren't enough trees to cut down.
Aren't enough to really cut it.
Really.
So to speak.
I didn't realize that.
Scandinavia has a good bit of wood, not much else. But Sweden is just basically one huge forest.
Okay.
There are some producers of this kind of material over the world, not just in Scandinavia. They have in Europe and they do have in the U.S. also, especially up around Wisconsin, Minnesota, places like that where they have the forest resource. But in Scandinavia, they do have a good bit of it, and that's what they take advantage of. So the
okay. So what are the kosher issues? I mean, if it's just paper, we don't usually find the star K on paper.
Right.
So what do they put in there that could be a problem that we're certifying?
As I mentioned before, the major issue is the coatings that go on the surface of the paper that are
to make it nonstick.
Mm-hmm. Right. Many companies will like to use that as opposed to, let's say, an oil on a pan, because that way they can possibly avoid a fat transfer from the release agent from the oil into the food, which means that they can avoid some excess fat in their product. So it allows them to make a product that's where the ingredient label will be what they call cleaner. They'll have less fat in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they like that, and it's also it can become more affordable. You can reuse these pan liners many times. So that's the main child. That's the main question: is what's in the coating, and additionally, what's in the paper itself? There's starches that could be added at times, which could be problematic as far as Passover is concerned. All of the paper that we certify, almost all the paper that we certify, is certified for year-round use, including Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one of the things that we try and check out and keep tabs on.
Okay, so you went to the factory or factories over there.
Right.
So let's move on to the general discussion of the kashrus over there.
Right.
What is the gist of the difference?
We build this as kashrus in Europe, and really that's a bit misleading, because I'm not really talking about the kashrus, let's say, in England, where the community is large and established, and I think they probably have a lot more to offer a kosher consumer than they would in the Scandinavian countries. In the Scandinavian countries, and I would imagine the same is true in a lot of the Eastern European countries, where kashrus and the communities are much smaller, it's a very limited, there's very limited availability of kosher products, to put it, that's really the easiest way to put it.
So where do they get meat and chicken?
Let's say, for example, in Norway, shechita, or ritual slaughter, is outlawed. It's illegal to conduct slaughtering in Norway, which means all of their meat, all their kosher meat, has to be imported. I believe the chickens we had on Shabbos were from Denmark, which is not too bad, but it's not the same as when you have, you know, walking into your local kosher grocer and being able to pick up kosher chicken. That doesn't happen.
And what about other products like...
other products. You walk into...
You know, you want to buy some
candy. You walk into any grocery store,
yogurt.
You're not going to find kosher symbols on anything.
You're talking about even on kosher products.
Even on products that could be kosher certified, which are far and few between, you're not going to find anything. For example, there was a box of Oreos that I saw in one of the grocery stores in Norway, and
Oreos are generally
OUD certified.
Right.
And there's nothing on the box. There wasn't much English on the box.
But maybe it may not be kosher at all, because it's made in a different plant.
Because it's made in a different plant, which is something which people need to be aware of. If you're traveling, you might see a familiar name or a familiar brand.
You can't assume
that it's kosher just because it's kosher over here in the U.S. Certain things, I mean, really the only things I was able to purchase there with a clear conscience would be fruit and vegetables, raw fruit and raw vegetables.
Well, what do the people who live there do?
So the people who live there... What they basically do is the rabbi of the community, or of the in this case, there's about 1,000 Jews in all of Norway. So it's a very small community, and the rabbi who's in Oslo is basically the rabbi of the country.
Is the chief rabbi?
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They actually prepare lists of products that the kosher consumer can purchase. It's kind of like, for Pesach and for Passover, we prepare a Passover guide and a Passover list of products that are certified for Passover. They have to work off a list all year round. And that's not just in Norway. That would be in all of Scandinavia, certainly. And even in in the more developed European countries, in England, I believe they also have to work off, for the most part, work off lists, which is a bit of a pain, number one. And number two, in my discussions with the rabbi there, it's not exactly the kind of a list where a person who's used to a certain level of kosher observance here in America would necessarily be comfortable buying those products in Europe.
And why not?
Because a lot of the times, it's kind of a situation where kosher was in America maybe 40 or 50 years ago, where there isn't that much available, and really they're trying to make as much available to the kosher consumer as possible, so they'll have to come on to leniencies that we wouldn't necessarily use here in the States anymore.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of leniencies?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could go as far as you know, a decision being made to put thing on the list simply by looking at the ingredient list and ascertaining that there's no obvious trace,
mm-hmm.
that there's no obvious non-kosher without actually visiting the company.
In other words, they're trying to make it usable for people who are kosher.
Right.
But it's not, you don't think it's the higher
it's not gonna
American standard of Starkey and other
correct.
Major agencies.
Correct.
So if a person wanted to live there and keep that higher standard, you'd just buy raw ingredients and like they
used
to do.
Yeah, I guess you could do it like in the old days.
It's a good example, you're saying, like reading the ingredients and putting it. That's what we used to do when we were kids,
right?
We would read the label,
right.
The candy label.
Exactly.
And if there's nothing, it didn't say lard.
Right.
So that was it.
Right. And again, like I was saying, it just gave me an appreciation of how easy it is. Really, to
right.
keep kosher here in
right.
the States.
In other words, in America, not only in the major metropolitan Jewish areas, but in almost any area, you can go into your local supermarket, a Safeway, and you can buy, kosher products
right.
that just they're not targeting
you know,
necessarily, but they are kosher.
For myself, who was traveling, there were a number of other people that we spent Shabbos together. Who were traveling in Scandinavia on vacation, it's really, you have to bring everything with you. I personally have bring all my meats with me and whatever breads I was going to eat, anything that I needed to eat probably except for the fruit and vegetables, I had to bring along with me. Milk, I did discuss with Rabbi Heinemann before I made the trip.
In other words, the milk is a problem. In America, we have the leniency for those who don't necessarily keep the higher level of Chol Yisrael. So in America, we can assume that the milk is what it's purported to be, which is cow's milk, although it's not Chol Yisrael.
Right.
But the question is, does that apply
in other countries?
In other countries where
right.
maybe the laws are not as
strict. So the Heidemann felt that...
The government laws are not.
Right. So he did feel, though, that in the industrialized countries in Europe... that you could rely on the same leniency.
You can drink the milk,
so you
but
could,
it's not Chol
Yisrael. Drink the milk, but there's no Chol Yisrael, as far as I know, that's available unless you would actually go to the farm yourself and supervise it.
Mm-hmm. Let me just stop for some identification. We are here in our Starkey Baltimore offices. I'm Rabbi Tzvi Goldberg, together with Rabbi Oruch Beyer, brought to you by kosherclasses.org, our monthly teleconference. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to ask by telephone, hit 1-1 on your keypad and on through the chat if you're on the computer. You can ask questions that way as well. We're very glad that you joined us today in the waning days of summer vacation, and you took out time, all of you, to join us here. There's something that I wanted to mention also about my trip recently, Rabbi. We've just segue to that for a second, and
sure.
maybe we'll see if we have time to come back to the Norwegian situation.
Yes.
Actually, I'm going to bring this up, try some of our technological wizardry over here. I was in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, about a week or two ago, and... Kashrus in Israel, actually, people are surprised when I tell them this, is actually more complicated, I think, than
yeah.
in the United States. People think that, well, in the United States, you know, you have what you have, but if you went to Israel, which is the Jewish country,
everything is kosher.
Then everything is kosher,
right.
and you'd have your choice, and it would be easy to just figure out what you're going to do. And it's the exact opposite, really.
Right.
Because in Israel, there's so many certifications, and people rely on this, but not on that, on that, and not on this, and it becomes really more convoluted than here in America. And it's true that you'll see a lot more places that are kosher, that have a kosher tu'udah or certificate, but the discerning kosher consumer finds it difficult to sort out which ones he really wants to rely on. So over here on my computer screen, for those of you joining, I think you should be able to see this. Can you see this? Okay. This is a tu'udah or a certificate that was up in a particular restaurant. You'll see it says on it, it's going to say on it what the name is, but it's not really a restaurant. It's a small stand, a bar, sort of a snack bar.
Rabbi Goldberg, what have you done on your trip over there?
A liquor bar. A snack bar, I guess, is the way to describe it. So you can see it has here a certificate from this organization called Nezer HaHidr. It says, Certificate of Hashgacha Mahadrin Min Mahadrin, strictest of the strict. Okay, and we'll go to the next one. Okay, there it has the name, actually, and an address. This is the same certificate. And it says over here, chalavi, which means that it is dairy. And it says, l'fi chumros, according to the stringencies of everything it says in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, it's strict of strict. And actually, I think it is, the valid date is correct. It's in fourth through Cheshvan of the year Tavshin Ayin. So it is still enforced. Actually, this certificate, I believe, is an illegal hechsher. Illegal is defined by the rabbinate of Jerusalem to be an agency that is not permitted to give certifications. Okay, so that's...
Why is that?
Because you have to be certified by the rabbinate to give certifications. They have qualifications. It's not like here in the United States anybody could certify it. You have to be registered with the rabbinate. They're not registered with the rabbinate. The rabbinate doesn't recognize this letter. Okay, but that's that certificate. But then they have a legitimate certificate from the rabbinate, right? In other words, independent of that certificate, mm-hmm. they have their own certification that I'm bringing up now. Tudat mm-hmm. Hechsher, dairy, again, it says, it's a dairy snack bar. And this is a legitimate certification. Now, I'm not saying whether or not the Star K would rely on this certification or not. That's a whole another issue that we're not getting into. Again, that gets involved with all the different certifications over there. But it is a legitimate certification, as far as I could tell, issued by the chief rabbinate of mm-hmm. Israel. Then we come. So it's a dairy place. They sell ice cream. They sell, you know, dairy
coffee.
Stuff.
Assume,
yeah. Coffee, milk, yeah, right. That kind of. Okay. Then I noticed this little cart that I'm bringing up to show you here. It's a hot dog cart. It's maybe a couple feet high and maybe 2 feet wide. And it has hot dogs rolling around and being cooked in the cooker. Very typical thing that you might see at a stadium, in the States. You're right, you might see that. And it's preparing the hot dog. So, you know, it caught my attention. It's a couple of feet away from the stand, and caught my attention because this is a dairy stand, and here they are selling hot dogs. So,
right.
Of course, we do it with Dan L'chavschus.
Right.
We assume the good in people, right? And I thought it might be soy hot dogs.
Which are very popular in Israel.
Yeah, very popular. Yeah, very, right.
Naknikim,
right. Yeah. Maybe even more so than America. So I gave them benefit of doubt.
Try to avoid it at all costs, by the way.
What? The soy dogs?
Soy dogs.
Don't like them? Okay. So I went over to look at all this, to see what was going on, because, as you know, a shoemaker, when he sees people walking with shoes, he's interested to see what kind of shoes they were wearing. So a person who's in kashrus,
yes.
When he sees kashrus anomalies or certificates, so he automatically pays attention to them, and you know that's where your mind is working. And hopefully,
pity on that store owner,
right?
When you walked in that store,
right? That's right. He didn't know what was going to hit him.
He didn't know what was going to hit him. That's right.
But you know, so I pay attention to this. And this has nothing to do with the Starcade. This is just I'm not there for anything to do with I'm not here on spying for the Starcade. I'm just as an individual. And I see this this hot dog stand. I go over, maybe it's soy dog. So immediately the manager, he sees me looking at this, you know, sort of not wanting to buy, but just looking at it. And I guess he also saw the way I was dressed, and he kind of figured out what I was thinking. And he said, no, no, this is not connected to the dairy stand. This is separate.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the same kosher. It's separate. It's meat. It is meat, but it's not connected to the dairy stand.
Is it on the? Is it actually on the counter?
It's not on the counter. It's a separate, like freestanding. I didn't put in the leg there, but it's a freestanding hot dog cooker, and so it has meat hot dogs, and it's being sold right next to a dairy place that looks like. You know, and so he, so there's two issues that we would have.
Who sells the hot dogs? Did you ask
him? When you pay, you mean?
Yeah.
You go over to, this, to the cashier.
But it's not connected.
But it's not connected, right? So there's two issues over here. One is that the certificate of the rabbinate doesn't apply to this, and people would think that it is, that it would be.
Could be, right?
Now you could argue on the other side. Well, the certificate says dairy, and this is meat. But that's a very weak argument, number one, because somebody might think like I did that maybe it's soy. And secondly, they may not, you know, a regular consumer may not be so discerning to see that it says dairy and it says meat. They just think that it's under the rabbin. And really, the rabbin has nothing to say about this. They're not in charge of this. They don't do any. They don't have anything to do with it. That's number one. Number two is, what if a person does think that it's like soy because the letter says that it's dairy and that Mrs. Soy eats meat and dairy together? I mean... That's besides what whose certification these dogs are under, a separate issue is it could cause somebody to eat meat and dairy together. So, you know, these are the kind of things that you find. I brought it to the attention of somebody involved in kosher over there, not the rabbinate itself, but somebody who can, you know, put it into the rabbinate and see what they're going to do about it, and maybe next time we can report back and give you the update. Of the you know the dairy hot dog stand over here, but so you,
if I was a cynical person, I would say that he's probably selling hot dogs because he's not selling enough ice cream.
Well, you know, really when
where does he keep the buns?
Where does he keep the buns?
And the relish and stuff.
They don't use that in Israel. It's an Israeli hot dog stand, not a hot dog stand on that.
I don't know. You know, it's a very
ketchup.
Really, when the rabbi comes in to check, the mashgiach supervisor comes in to check. I mean, he should see this. I could judge him favorably also to say that this came up between the time of the last visit and put it up recently. Whatever it is, it should be removed or separated to a completely different part of the building, so that people aren't misled. So. You know, even when you're going to Israel, you have to be careful.
That's right.
You have to be very careful of what, you know, with the kosher situation there and check it out before you go.
This would not be a problem in Norway.
Is that because they have no kosher
hot dogs? Because they have no kosher hot dogs.
They have no kosher hot dogs.
Exactly. Or ice cream, for that matter.
Okay. So that's actually an advantage.
There you go.
In that sense.
There you go.
I'm not saying this couldn't happen in America, too. This could happen in America, too. It just happens to be that it was in Israel. And just to bring home the point that you have to be careful wherever it is that you go.
I'm just wondering.
Let me see if there are any questions. Let me see if anybody has any chatting or any telephone questions. Feel free to join in. Yes, what are you saying?
I was just commenting that it could be in Israel, where there's so many kosher restaurants and stands that have to be taken care of. It's probably not easy to keep tabs on everything. You know, we have a limited amount of restaurants, let's say, here in Baltimore.
Right, maybe 20, 25.
Do we have that many?
No.
No, I don't think so.
How many?
I don't even think, maybe we have 20. I don't even think we have that many. You know, but that's doable. You know, but in a place like Israel where there's just...
Hundreds,
thousands possibly.
Right.
It must be there.
Any place that applies for certification, basically.
Right. I mean, every little falafel shop and every little snack bar. Right.
They're not all under the same certification.
Correct, but
still,
how many people are working in kosher that they can actually have an army of guys to go out there and police this?
Well, hopefully they do.
Hopefully they do. It's just I don't think that's the case, but who knows.
Okay, so
I don't know if that's you know,
he's claiming Avram over here on the chat is claiming that that there's an issue with the overall who's in charge of the Jerusalem rabbinate. I guess what he means is that each store has its own mashgiach, and they are in charge of whatever whatever goes on in that store. I think that there may be some truth.
Well, he's also bringing up
based
that issue.
On my experience.
A few months ago, there was an issue where I think a number of the people who were in charge of kashrus at the rabbinut were
there was
a turnover or something happened over there. Yeah,
right.
I'm not sure how that turned out in the end.
Right, right. That's true. All right. So that is that's the Israel situation. Not completely. No, there are many hotels there. Generally, we the Rabbanut Mahadrin on the hotel, we can say that, I think, that we're pretty comfortable with it,
mm-hmm.
That the setup is really, a lot of thought has gone into the setting up
right.
of those hotels, and I'm not
right.
sure why it is. Maybe it has to do with historical information of who set it up originally, or maybe because all the tourists are there.
I think it's because of the tourists.
Because of the tourists,
yeah.
Okay.
I would guess.
Right.
But on the street, it becomes a problem.
It is an issue. And you know what? I was in the airport. You know, when you go to Israel, that's usually what happens. And I came off the airport, and I came off the airplane, and I there was a little again a snack bar there, and it didn't have any certification, but they had some candies and stuff that might be. Might be certified. And I realized, though, that they sold some apples and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost bought an apple without
realizing
that
right.
gets me into another whole issue of either Trumos, the Maitros, the tithing in Israel, or the Shemitah. Problems,
right.
the issues, the sabbatical year issues.
Right.
And so that in and of itself is a real complication because of the holiness of the land. So it's not like here where you go, even in Sweden, right?
Right.
You go in the store and you had your fruits and vegetables. All the only thing you have to be concerned about, at least maybe the vegetables, is the bugs issues, but an apple and orange is nothing
right.
really to worry about. But here, you're hungry, you're in an airport. You're looking around for something to eat. You can't even buy the
right.
fruits without taking
right.
into account. You can do it. I mean, I could tithe it, right? I mean, I can do that. But it's not just taking the fruit and just eating it because it's only fruit.
Right.
So that's another issue in Israel that is not applicable over here.
So I guess the rule of thumb is when you're traveling, you know, traveler beware.
Traveler beware. That's right. And then on the planes.
There's other issues.
There's
right?
other issues. We've talked about those. I went, for instance, I went Continental. It's not, Starkey doesn't approve or recommend any particular airline. Just I went on that one. But and I ordered the kosher meals, of course.
Of course.
All right. Now, on the way back, the advantage of ordering kosher is they usually get served first.
Right.
And
I
had people sitting next to me that waited. I do not exaggerate. A half an hour
right.
from when I got my meal till when they got their meal.
You know,
so,
good things come to those who
right,
wait.
Right, so it is an advantage of all
that. It is an advantage. And I got more food, I think, also.
Yeah.
My kosher meal.
Now, on the way back.
Right, I got two meals when they only got one meal.
Really?
It was amazing,
okay.
yeah.
On the way back, though, from on Continental.
Go kosher.
Going from Israel to America, if you want, there is a higher level standard of kosher, glatt kosher,
right.
that you have to order specifically.
That's
so
kosher, I think they call it, right?
They call it glatt. Continental calls it glatt. So an interesting quirk is that for Continental, at least, on the way to Israel, kosher is kosher. There's no glatt kosher.
Right.
Regular kosher is glatt kosher.
Right.
It's, I think OU.
I think it's OU,
OU
also.
Nirbater,
something like that. Whatever. Yeah.
It's a level that it's something that we would recommend.
Right.
On the way back, though, they have two levels. There's regular kosher, and then there's glatt kosher. And I've had a number of conversations on various trips with the agents on the phone, and they say, yes, we've ordered kosher for you. And I say, no, but I want the glatt kosher. And they say, well, we ordered kosher.
And
I say,
one
look, please look for the word glatt. I want the glatt kosher
right.
on the way back. And then they find it. It is one of the choices on the way back from Israel on Continental. And then that, you know, to have that higher level
right.
if that's what you're interested in.
Right.
Okay, are there any other closing comments, Rabbi Bayer, before we end off this?
Closing comments. It's good to be home for any number of reasons. Definitely because, you know, kosher is so much more widely available here. It's just, it really, I felt, but I made a comment to my hosts over there on Shabbos that you feel the gullus more in Europe, I think, at least in that part of Europe, than you do here in the States. You feel the exile more over there than you do here for any number of reasons. I mean, whether it's the fact that there's not that much available kosher or because there's so much more of a heightened awareness of anti-Semitism and the things that can bring over there, that it's really a bracha that we live here in this country. And that's you know, my ending comment.
He's asking, or she is asking, is all the food on El Al kosher? We have information on our website at star-k.org, and that lists all of the major airlines and the kosher rules about it. I wonder if I can bring it up real fast and take a look myself. But I think even on El Al, what I think is you have to order glatt kosher.
Again, it would be the same thing.
If you want glatt kosher.
If you're coming from the States, you're coming from New York.
Yeah, but I don't think they have that.
I'm coming from Israel, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think they have that different way of kosher like Continental does. But I do think that let me see what they say. I mean, what we say. Here's kosher consumer, Star K list. Let's see if we have a something called airline.
I don't think it's on the list.
It's not on the list?
Just on traveling. You have to look in the article.
Oh,
look
in the article.
Article.
Okay, Kashrut Currents articles. Why can't I get to it? I got stuck. Okay, I don't know the answer to your question, but I think, I mean, I don't know 100%. I think you have to order special kosher if you want that level. If you want, you can look on our website. We have a Kashrut Currents article called Traveling Kosher or Airline,
yeah.
Traveling on
yeah.
Airlines. Or if you want, you can call us at 410-484-4110 and ask us that question or email us at star-k@star-k.org. I want to thank you very much for joining us. If you could, go to your tools button. If you're joining us by Dimdim, there's a bar on towards the top of your screen called Tools. If you click on that and it says Send Feedback, and if you have any comments or want to make if you have a question, you can send it to us like that as well. And we appreciate you joining us, taking out your time from your vacation to join us, and we look forward to seeing you next month. Have Siva Simatova, very good, happy, and healthy, sweet,
kosher
New Year. Take care. Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.